Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
The following is a special Boston Bastard Brigade presentation.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. This is Anvil, and I'm joined today with my girlfriend Katie, and we're sitting here in Framingham with Widow Sunday. Welcome,
yeah.
Gentlemen.
Yeah!
Woo! Sweatbear!
We're here with Jacob, Adam, Darren, Sean, and Pat Darcy. Their manager. I have to throw the full name because that's how everybody knows you. So, gentlemen, we're sitting here in... I have no clue where.
Framingham, Massachusetts.
Well, yes. It looks like a dungeon.
Oh, yeah. This?
Well, it's a rape room. Okay.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's the rape closet.
There we go. Just so we know. Now, the group of you, how'd you guys come together?
Well, Craigslist, what was the... before they took the personals down, I answered a call... I showed up expecting a circle jerk, but lo and behold, it was a band.
That's yeah. Surprise, surprise.
So I just ended up staying.
Yeah. Well, Sean brought me here after a date and raped me, and I was like, you know what? This is me.
I'm comfortable with this.
So they had an extra bass up on the wall, so I grabbed it, and... that explains why my skills on the last album and a half.
Well, so is that why your hands are so quick? Is you used to fighting them off?
Yeah. Well, you studied under Geddy Lee for a while, didn't you?
You're all love salesman.
You did good, kid.
Best bass player ever.
Yes. But considering I lost a finger in Nam too,
well, that is how we really pretty started. Good.
All right. No, but Adam, you can tell the story.
Yeah, there's a more boring story. The boring story is that Darren and I grew up together. And then we started playing music when we were like 15. Oh. And Pat started playing with us as well back then.
I spilled chocolate on me.
We all ended up moving down here. You know, kind of went our own way for a while. And then 3 years ago, we started? December 2007, we started doing this.
Well, we were in Hollowimage before that.
Yes! Yes, Pat Darcy, we were! But yeah, this band started with me and Darren and Pat and our original singer Phil and original lead guitarist Mike. And it was sort of more of a side project in the beginning. And after about 6 months, Jake came in, and that's when things started getting more serious. We recorded the first EP. And then when did you join, Sean?
February
2009.
Yeah,
okay, wow, it's been that long. Yeah, because we split with our old lead guitar player, and we actually did meet Sean on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I don't remember advertising it as a circle jerk, but it was Craigslist.
I'm sorry, I got my facts mixed up.
It happens.
That was somewhere else. Okay.
So yeah, when Sean joined is when things got like really serious, and like we put the EP out, and kind of that was like, well, obviously our core lineup because that's who's still in the band more or less.
Right,
Pat Darcy.
Shut up. Okay. I can't stop.
Balls.
Sorry. See, now she's trying to rush me.
Don't rush.
We're in no rush.
See?
I'm in no rush. Having fun.
I'm more in rush. We have no fans.
I know. Hey, I'm not doing the editing.
My work for him, not me.
So now, the name of the band, Widow Sunday, where did this come from?
Well, we had it in mind that that's ultimately the dessert we want to craft for the Denny's late night menu.
Yes, the Widow Sunday.
No.
Like it's ice cream, man? Like a sundae?
It's not funny.
I'll hurt. I know it's not funny. No, it's the nickname of a medical case from Paris in the 19th century where this woman that was in her late 70s started growing a bone of horn out of the center of her forehead. Got to like 8 or 9 inches long before they ended up cutting it off. But they nicknamed that case Widow Sunday. And
which is funny because even before I joined the band, I had a huge... like hard on for unicorns. And and specifically because this old woman, like I happened to walk into a band who was named after a woman who was growing a unicorn horn.
That's
just fate, dude. Yeah. Like you can't write that kind of shit.
Now your next bit box tag makes sense.
Unicorn. What, his obsession with unicorns? Yeah. Oh. Dude, it was funny because the first year we all started hanging out, that unicorn toy on the wall, you got what, like 4 of those?
Yeah, the Avenging Unicorn toy on Christmas from, I think it was 4, from 4 separate people who had not communicated with each other about it, all showed up with a different Avenging Unicorn kit for me. So now I have several. I have one over there. I got one there.
And I think that was like the last person that gave you the gift, and you open it like, oh yeah, and I'm like,
this thing kicks ass. What the fuck's wrong with you?
So then Pat gets you the narwhal this past Christmas.
The narwhal one, yeah.
The unicorn of the sea, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
So now, your first CD, Embracing the Beast.
Within.
Oh. See, you didn't write it all.
Listen, you didn't do your work.
Hey, listen.
Oh, snap.
I did everything.
I've been up for over 24 hours at this point.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, I know. I read it last night while I was at work. But now it's, 24 hours later, my brain starts.
I didn't know that.
That's how I knew
him. Yeah, you grew your name from, like, Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
They're all lies.
Lies and slander.
Well, I tried to get us on the Urban Dictionary, and it denied my request for a definition.
Oh, did it actually deny it? Because I kept looking for it.
Yeah. It's not there. Huh. But that's the... yeah, at least according to that, the Urban Dictionary version of us, we... are a 19-piece space polka band I said we specialized in music for like homecomings, for regal affairs, and
makes me hard.
But then I had incredible listings of what we all did. I can't.
No, I remember
off the top of my head.
Yes, it's a great band. What a brace of beast with them.
Anyway, yeah.
So
no comment on the first one.
Shut up, Pat Darcy.
So now, your first music video was Sisters of Clarity.
Strings of Clarity.
Strings of Clarity.
Whatever. I write.
Just roll with it. Go.
Mad Libs on our titles tonight.
Butt sex.
Revenge of the Death Star.
That's how I do my Mad Libs, though.
So now, making this first music video, how was this for you guys?
We honestly had almost nothing to do with it.
We watched too much Tool. Yeah.
Shut up, the director does. But honestly, that was something that our old lead guitar player set up with a contact he had from his old band.
Okay.
And he kind of just gave him the song and he ran with it and made that animated thing that's online.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
That's how it ended up being.
It's cool. I mean, ultimately, we kind of prefer a video we're in. That's why the new video is a lot more traditional, but. At the time, for someone, artistically minded that wanted to do something for free, it was cool.
Yeah. So then, next you got, how'd you guys wind up signing with Rat Pack Records and everything with that?
Rat Pack, their owner and our A&R guy, Joe, I've known him for a while, because I do graphic art for work, and I've, helped him out with various projects over the years, and when we finished the EP, I just kind of sent it to him offhand. Just, hey, check it out. And he ended up loving it and signed us then. And it's been a good relationship thus far, to have some kind of label behind us so early in our careers has been awesome.
Yeah, but Joe owed me a huge favor after that weekend in Thailand, too.
Yeah.
Cross-dressing hookers.
He didn't know. He didn't know she had a...
That's
too little, too late, you know?
Mostly that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that usually helps everything.
I mean, that's how anyone gets anywhere in the music business is blackmail or some kind of...
Sexual favor.
Mismatched genitalia or something.
That's actually the name of our new record.
Mismatched genitalia? Well, then it's kind of like Sex Games with a Mr. Potato Head, except there's, you know, a lot more trips to the free clinic involved, ultimately.
Yeah, write it down, dude. Ball soup.
There we go. He runs off, writes down the board.
Genitalia. We try to make sure we keep tabs on
done
all the awesome
done.
Working titles.
See, so now if that becomes a title, we get credit for it, because, you know,
that's a new song.
We help bring
we'll
it.
Mention your name, of course.
That sounds like a decrepit song.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, man.
Blackmail.
So then, after signing with Rat Pack, you came up with your second CD, In Rusted Vein. In These Rusted Veins.
Holler.
Sorry.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sean isn't on Embracing the Beast with him. We finished that before he joined the band.
Yeah. Well, In These Rusted Veins is the CD that I got introduced to when I came to see you guys at the Palladium. And truthfully, I loved it. There's no other way, you know, to describe it.
Thank you.
There was a one song that I know I didn't like. I know I talked about it on our show. And from all the emails I got, I think a lot of people liked the small clip that we did play. So then you guys made another music video with everybody for Forever Sleep.
Yep.
Now, how was this one for you guys?
It was fun. We actually did it in this room.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience.
You'd never know. Because, I mean, like, we rearranged everything. And, I mean, the kid who directed it, Anthony Jarvis, is incredible. Very talented kid. And he, you know.
Dynamo in the set.
That, definitely. He's very supple.
All it comes from his beard.
He's got soft hands.
No, because he has the porn star stash now.
Yeah, dude, I like the little tickle, I'll be honest.
It's really classy.
It's definitely working for him.
I like a little tickle.
No, that whole experience was awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We pretty much just spent a day down here. Bunch most of the people got drunk.
Some people got shot.
Yeah, there was off shooting.
You can see Pat Darcy in the video with
the glow stick helmet.
She's up there on Yoda.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, the we ate a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there was so much food.
We did. We got a lot of chicken.
But it was really bad.
Nice.
It was
special, man.
So what was the best part of making it for you guys?
I think the
most fun part was definitely the crowd scenes, because even though the particular shots didn't make it in, the crowd shots are in the video, but like we were pantomiming playing, like with the song lasting, and like that was just a lot of fun having like 20, 30 of our friends out here all jumping around like assholes, pretending we were at a show. But
it was really weird for me, like
that's how different from any other year shows.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we played with tape, so.
Yeah, it was really weird for me. I don't know if it was just weird for you guys, but like when I was doing the vocal stuff, like I wasn't allowed to actually like sing. I was like, we had the stereo playing the CD, so I, you know, could mouth it and be in line with the song or whatever. But I wasn't allowed to actually make sounds. So it was really bizarre and surreal for me to be standing there, like, and fake screaming but not actually doing it with nothing coming out of my mouth. It was honestly a lot harder than I thought it was was going to be.
Fake playing guitar was weird.
It's weird,
yeah,
dude.
Like I was playing it and you couldn't hear anything.
It was really weird to be Darren locked out because you can't really fake play drums.
Yeah,
we just duct taped lots of paper towels to his drums to make them quieter.
That was definitely fun.
So, advanced technology we utilize.
So what's this concept behind the whole thing?
It's
yes. That was behind the video?
Dance.
Yes.
It was Jake kind of gave them the concept of his song, and Jarvis and the producer and writer of the video, Brett McCabe, they put together kind of the treatment of what was their idea? There was like a guy who, like, someone kills his girlfriend or something, and so then he tracks the guy down and kills him.
Yeah,
like, finds him in a show.
Yeah,
I mean, like that kind of ties in with Jake.
Yeah, I mean, the song more or less is about I don't want to say a girl specifically, but like someone important being like taken from you for whatever reason, and you know, like Jarvis kind of took the and Brett kind of took the angle of that it was like a murder thing, you know, whether they died, they left, they whatever, you know, you want to maintain like a certain amount of control still over that like empty space. And I mean, the probably the most important line in the song is if I can't have you, no one will. And like the character in the song itself just is willing to go to any length, like to see or be with that person again. Be it, you know, I don't know if you want to get grabbed, you know, kill everybody else or destroy the world, whatever, blah blah blah. You want to get big and
have a pizza,
you know,
party.
Metaphorical with it, yeah. But no, I think Jarvis did a good, took a good angle, you know, without following my lyrics like to the note. He gave some really good imagery for it. I was really psyched that Ryan Mix, the kid who's actually on the cover of the record, I'm really glad that he was, that Jarvis and Brett were able to incorporate him into the video. It's just, it's, I think it's very, it was, Ryan's, you know, a really good friend. They've known him a lot longer than I have, but I've, you know, we've become pretty close, and it was, I don't know, it was just cool to have that same, even though Jarvis didn't take the photos of Ryan for the cover and stuff, like, he got the grain of the film right, the color schemes and everything, and it just, it was, I don't know.
Yeah, he said, yeah, he synced it up with the art scheme really well.
Okay, so now, in your opinion, what was the difference between your two music videos in the whole making of them?
We're inaudible.
Yeah.
Well, other than that.
The first one,
they were so drastically different. The first one was so, like, big and conceptual. It just kind of, like, we were very detached from it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas we were very, very involved with, even in the planning phases of the Forever Sleep video. Because, I mean, they very much, like, you know, like, we probably had, what, at least two or three meetings with them prior to filming anyways, because we wanted to discuss, like, lighting, you know, stylistic preferences, where we wanted to do it, you know, the story elements that they had. And you really, like, we're definitely a lot more involved, whereas, you know, in the first video, we kind of just, we're like, here's the song, do your thing, we'll see it when it's done.
Yeah, the first one was, like, very cool. He did a, Paul, right?
Yeah. Paul Stevens,
yeah. He did a very good job, but, like, to a certain degree, it could have been any song playing that. I mean, forgive me, right, he didn't do that, I mean, he did it for us to a certain end, but it didn't tie into any sort of lyrical content whatsoever, and, like, the overall... I mean, yeah, I can understand he comes, when we've heard a lot, he comes from the Tool school, where, you know, I mean, a lot of Tool's videos make no sense to anything that's going on, which is totally cool, because as a concept, it's, you know, a full piece, you know, but I think the Forever Sleep one, obviously, we had a lot more involvement with, and showcased our ideas versus someone else's take on what they heard.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to kind of get that kind of respect and appreciation from an outside source coming in to work with us, so someone who obviously, like, you know, understands that this is our and, you know, it really wants to take into account kind of what we envision when these things are going on, you know, and what really wants our input and values, how we feel and how we want to be represented.
Okay, now what about you? Do you have any opinion?
Darren's a drummer. He doesn't get to talk. He hits things.
It's a strong silent type.
I listen to everything else. Everyone else says.
But this is where the drummer actually gets a chance to have a voice.
We don't have voices.
You don't have voices?
No, he does when he throws his
drumsticks
out.
Everything they explain.
Okay. Tell that story.
What we got?
Yes.
The drumstick story.
Oh, yeah.
What drumstick story?
where is this going?
He's going to get to tour, and we'll get to it when we get there. Yeah.
Okay.
We got that. What else? The bike.
Actually, touring for the CD is the very next topic.
Oh, thanks.
All right, yeah.
How did you guys like making the CD and going through the process of recording and doing everything that you had to do?
Recording was fun.
He's an asshole.
Mastering and mixing it. And who did you pick for it? Why did
it
you pick them?
The mastering and mixing we weren't really around for, but we for the engineering process, we went to Shane Frisbee at the Brickhead House, and he's a really awesome, gigantic human being. That we're very glad doesn't hate us.
He's a big beer.
He's
470 pounds.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
He's actually the dimensions of Soda Popinski from Punch.
Holy shit.
Dude, he is. I've seen the guy uproot trees with his bare hair.
Where did you get that from? Like.
But,
his eyes roll when you punch him.
I wouldn't know. I can't.
Like, yeah, I don't think I would ever do it.
It's just like one of those,
touch that.
One of those cartoon things where he just holds your forehead out and you swing underneath him and can't get close.
No.
But it was, I mean, that record we funded entirely ourselves. So when we got to the point where we were going to do it, we were, you know, shopping around trying to figure out who we wanted to go with. And Shane recorded the most recent Bury Your Dead album. Just got finished recording the new one as well. But we loved the production on that, and so we gave him a call, and he ended up being really excited about the material we had and really wanted to work with us. And, you know, it was really fair prices, so we ended up going down there. And I mean, it was about a 2-hour trek one way for us going down to Cape Cod.
It was
so
worth it.
Yeah, you know, it was worth it, but it was like one of those things where, you know, we would go down there, you know, probably spend 8, 9, 10 hours, and then, you know, we probably did a handful of sessions over the course of probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months. We spent going back and forth between there.
I did a 13-hour day with him one time. That was fun.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of them were pretty quickly. I mean, like, Darren tracked drums in 2 days or 2 sessions, rather.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, guitars took in, like, 3 or 4. But, you know, it was really, really fun. I mean, that was really the first experience any of us had being in a studio or really having, like, a lot of input from somebody who, like, you know, is really professional and has worked with a lot of, you know, bands bigger than us and really knows what he's doing, and kind of, you know, someone more than is just going to sit there and push record when we need to do a take. You know, he'll actually give input.
He'd say you did bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Could you do that, but better? But
do that again.
Yes,
but good.
Yeah,
I mean, I just dug, at least, I mean, it was my first time doing, like, a real full, like, vocal recording. So, I mean, when we did the EP with Jim, it was cool. It was a little bit rushed. I mean, I was just coming into it at a weird time. But, yeah, Shane got me really mad, and but pushed me for a very, very good performance. Like we say, yeah, it was, you know, that you'd hear the click. Oh, that was great. Do it again, but don't suck at it this time.
Yeah, he made me do a solo like 14 times over, and then he's like, oh, that was supposed to sound like that? Oh, that was good.
What was it, the Blood Money solo?
Blood Money solo. He goes, oh, you're playing that like that? Oh, that's great. And I'm like, damn it, I just did it 14 times. But yeah, I love
do one more.
Well, Shane's really good. We're really excited to go back down with
the bass in one day.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Yes, you did, Pat Darcy. It was a good job. Practicing.
And he said on the next album he's going to play more of a producer role and actually produce us. So yeah, he's going to tell us basically, you suck, hardcore. Yeah, do this, change this. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we already didn't you already get one email of all of listening?
Yeah,
to
he critiqued
faults?
He critiqued all of us already. So he said, get better before you guys get in. We're like, all right.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're not going to say no.
We were noobs, let's be honest. We were noobs when we walked in that place. Shane? Yeah.
It's just little stuff, but I mean, it's going to potentially
make us better.
It's
a brutal truth thing. Yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you might immediately have the, well, like, you know, be kind of downtrodden when someone really critiques you hard, but ultimately it's something you want to hear if it's something that's going to make you be better, you know? And we'd much rather have someone giving advice like that than just saying, oh, yeah, it's fine, you know? Because we obviously want to be producing the best quality product we can, and you know, have as many outside opinion is always great.
Yeah, Shane. I don't think Shane ever once. Well, I mean, he would ask like, "How did you feel about that?" But he would never like leave it fully up to me. I don't think to say, "Yeah, no, that was it." He's like, he would tell me when I got, you know, sometimes one of my low growls was wrong. It was just like, "Nope, nope, nope." Nope. All right, that one wasn't bad. Nope.
Yeah, I hated that.
I'll save that one, but do it again.
Yeah, we'll save that one.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, ultimately, you can only distance yourself so much from what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's great to have that person who it's their profession to.
He takes
make
a lot of pride in his work, too.
Yeah.
A lot of pride.
He's a really good guy.
He takes your music as his own.
Yeah, like anything else, you know, his name is on it as much as ours is at that point. Because, I mean, that's how we even found him. You know, we heard a record he recorded, and we loved the sound of it, so we wanted to go down there.
And he also is a dynamo in the sack.
But no, the mixing and mastering the mixing and mastering was done by Pete Rucho, and we weren't around for it. He's one of those guys that he just kind of likes to take it and pull up in his dungeon and get it done. But, I mean, he obviously did a stellar job. You know, we kind of just communicated with him via email. You know, he would send us a mix.
Sorry.
Focus!
Shut up. For everybody listening to this, while we're sitting down here, we're all watching Tommy Boy. And if you haven't seen Tommy Boy, just turn it off. Go watch the movie and come back.
Yeah, pause.
Watch Chris Farley's butt is very distracting.
I want to know what love is.
Sorry, what?
Dad?
I love Four.
Dad?
So what is your favorite song off the album that you guys have done? Like, your personal favorite?
I think we all have different
ones. Yeah, we probably all have different ones.
All right. Well, I'm curious. my favorite song, huh?
We don't have a song called Sniffle.
Sniffle.
Get it?
Yeah,
but it's in the
works. No, wait. I think that was Death of Chris Farley.
Yeah. Do we have to? Do we have to just say one?
I mean, just channeled.
You don't need to.
I mean, what's each individual then?
I think. I mean, to me, Vive Ut Vivas is probably the most personal for me because it's Vive Ut Vivas is actually what is at the top of my family's crest. I swear to God.
Douchebag.
And. No, it's at the top of my family. It's our my Falconer family slogan, motto, if you will. But I think that has the most personal, direct lyrics in it, at least for me. When I wrote them, it's very much about my mom and dad, or everybody's mom and dad, really. But I don't know. I think that's my favorite because it's got all this, the fast parts and stuff that I like. But then Duffy plays probably my favorite solo that he does.
Can't forget that.
There's a lot of stompies. This, but
yeah.
All right, I mentioned Darren. He's happy now.
All right. What about you, Sean?
I think mine's probably "Truth Be Told." I don't know why. It's just a very fucking hard song. So you know.
I was gonna say that one.
It's hard and fast.
I don't know, I just like it. It's got a lot of like Cannibal Corpse references and stuff like that. Like me and Darren wrote a lot of that, and then actually Adam wrote one of my favorite lines ever in one of our songs, the epic part in the middle of it.
Did I?
Yeah, you wrote that part. So that
you did?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he just came to practice and he's like, dude, I have this part, and that's like my all time favorite part. Halfway through where the monsters we've become part in the middle. That part's awesome, so. But yeah, that's my favorite song.
Monsters Make Me Come.
Yeah, Monsters Make Me Come. We actually said that on the album in one part, so if you listen closely.
Yeah, if you listen really carefully, yeah. Pat, rather than the monsters we've become, Patrick Flaherty is screaming, "The monsters make me come." It's on the second one.
Yeah.
The second time
you can hear it.
Oh, that was the third one.
Apparently no one picked up.
I thought it was the second one. Maybe he could have done more than one.
But now that you hear it, that's all you're going to hear. That's all I hear.
Yeah,
that's all I hear. Not Patrick.
Well, since we segued in, how about you, Pat?
Channel.
Okay, and why?
I felt I had the best performance in that song.
Your slap bass part is awesome.
I know. That's why I think it's the best. A little pluck. Yeah. What should I use my pinky for? Watch me on stage.
Every time.
He uses his pinky like he's on the teacup.
Because he's classy.
He is classy.
I want to be original. Everyone, you know, uses the
same reason. Well, I mean, we were talking. Your prime bass influence is Sean Connery, right?
Whose isn't, sir?
That's fair. That's fair.
That's why Darcy jerks off with one pinky out, because he's classy.
And because it's song. Darren, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song? I would have to say songs, because...
No, because you guys can each say more than one.
No.
We're limiting him, though. You only get to say one.
You get one song.
This is my life. I have to deal with it. Day in and day
out. But see, you're the drummer, so that's, you know, your issue.
I know.
You're a very limited stuff. very well and fast. Don't get
I would actually have to say it's Dust Angel, because I feel like that song's pretty much, for me, one of like the hardest songs that I actually had to learn how to play, just because of like the beat work and everything in it, and like the, you know, the speed of the song.
The ending.
Yeah, the ending of the song definitely was something I had to work on, but I mean,
thanks, Michelle.
That's what ending's for. No, Dust Angel is definitely one of the better songs for me.
What did you say? Did you say one?
No, he hasn't gone yet. Pat threw it over to, you know,
Aaron, so
we're like, no referencing other ones.
Skip around.
Oh, all right, fine. I'll go with Forever Sleep then. So for me, it's always been between Forever Sleep and Deep Eight.
Suck up.
I'll say Forever Sleep. I've always liked that one. I was really happy we were going to do the video for that one. I feel like,
yeah,
especially structure-wise, like transitions and just the general feel of the song, I feel like, especially on this the particular album, it really kind of encompasses where we were at and what we try to accomplish as a band, you know.
Mm. Well, that was the first song that really made it evident with the synthesizer thing.
We started integrating the dance stuff with that one. And, I mean, it really showcases the kind of balance of, like, catchy hooks and technicality with really solid songwriting, but still remaining heavy, but having a sense of melody, just kind of like those constant balances we try to achieve in what we do almost subconsciously, because, I mean, we never really go into anything with kind of a particular mindset and direction, but I feel like that one just kind of like sums up everything we do, more or less. I know they're making things. Motions at me.
Now, whose idea was the intro to Blood Money? Whose idea was that?
Darren.
That was all.
I actually wrote that song like years ago. I think actually when I was still in high school, like I just like, you know, I wrote it like on my fucking like DJ X keyboard. And like, yeah, I actually wrote like the drum parts like on the keyboard. And I just kind of like hung around with it for a while. And then, you know, after I joined this band, I just kind of redid it and I presented it and everyone seemed to dig it. So we kind of, you know, restructured it and like,
That's the only song where anybody else gets any vocal credit or lyrical credit.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I gave him like, you know.
No, high five this shit, dude. Don't leave me hanging.
Sorry, I can't multitask. Apologize. Even though that's kind of.
That's kind of counterintuitive.
So now just figure out a caveman can't.
I quit. Later. You heard it here first. Pat Darcy is now fired from the band.
Awesome.
Because actually, Blood Money is one of my favorites, and I actually want to take it to my gym and piss off everybody else there, because most of them play a lot of Spanish music and it opens up, you know, kind of like that. I seem to get all excited and then it hits the death metal and they're like,
it was such a good idea too.
It was cool because, I mean, Blood Money was really one of those songs where it's like Darren wrote it and that was like it. Like, we didn't change it much because, you know, there's a lot of stuff where kind of like we take an initial idea and, you know, it'll go through quite a bit of a process so it kind of has the end result of how we really want the song. But, yeah, that was one of those ones where it came together really, really quickly.
Except for the vocal patterns.
Yeah, that was kind of... That was probably one of the hardest ones in the studio.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the one that started the fight.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so what about this fight?
Oh, it wasn't really a fight. Jake got mad at me because I told him he was bad. That's what it boiled down to.
It was the end of one of my days, I think.
And truth be told,
I was really stressed.
I thought you quit.
I was really stressed. The patterns were very hard for me. And we didn't realize that some of the vocal things weren't really working until we were there recording it. And then the suggestions were brought up that I change certain things. And
he wasn't this calm about it in the studio. Well,
we actually have it on video. If you go to our pre-production video and watch the vocal one, we have the actual.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's not a fight. I was just really frustrated.
It was a fight. You were.
There were chairs thrown.
You were very upset.
There was not one fist thrown. Oh, no, there was a fist thrown and I broke your kneecap, but it wasn't because of a fight.
So it's like Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
more or less. Why did you punch me in the knee?
I don't remember. I think you had gone for like a
nut. I said something bad about old school hardcore, I think, and you got mad at me.
And I did. And honestly, to this, I did not mean to. I didn't think I would hit you as hard. I meant to give him a Charlie horse. Like in the thigh, and somehow managed to like hit him like square on the top of the kneecap.
No, because he got like the knuckle like in the divot, like of the knee.
Dude, I've never seen this kid turn so white.
It hurts so bad.
Like the sheet of your paper, just all the blood gone. And you were sitting on the couch, dude, like it almost looked like you were in a cold sweat.
I can totally understand. I can totally understand the pain, but just it was terrifying, and I felt so bad.
It was like, Adam died. What happened? Jake punched him in the knee.
They had to amputate, but unfortunately, an infection set in.
You guys don't mind if I AC Slater this chair, do you?
No. Oh, you fucking cock!
So Patrick just called the last cookie. Wait, we have a fight going on.
Wait, stop it! There's more cookies.
They already killed them.
They're not there. They turned on the
truck. Wait, wait, oh no. More. We got more.
Sugar cookies.
Hey, don't knock the sugar cookies.
Oh, so after you guys did this whole album, you guys went on tour. How was that?
It's been great. We've been playing behind the album for what? Almost a year now?
Yeah, well, when is it? May 17th would be the 1 year, right? Isn't that what it is?
No, before you guys were... we were playing. Before the CD was released.
Oh, yeah, I knew, but... Something behind the CD itself.
Are you
taking
that?
No.
No, I mean, yeah, well, the first time we went out with any sort of, meeting for multiple days was with Tightrope. Thanks to Nefarious Rebel.
No, it was the, it was the Minotaur. It was the one we did in the summer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Minotaur.
I blocked that one from my memory.
That one was all right.
That was fun, except for the one show where our record producer Joe came.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the first night, yeah, it was the first
was
night.
There was one person there.
Tour was up in Manchester, and it was a Thursday night. One person came. Of course, the one person is the head of our record label.
Oh, there wasn't even a mosh pit. See,
dude, that was incredible.
There was actually a lot of shit that happened that tour. It's like then we played the next night. We played in Revere, and there was a bunch of skinheads.
Some guy came up to me and he shook my hand. He goes, "White supremacist?" No, because he looked at my tattoo and he instantly thought I was white supremacist. Before. I'm like,
it's okay.
What? Well, dude, it's fucking Revere guy.
Yeah, Revere kid.
Whoa, wait. I didn't know the part of the name.
I didn't know they were coming back though. Skinhead.
Yeah, and then the last day, that was only a 3 day thing. And the last day we went up to some gym in Maine.
Elementary school gym.
It was probably roughly 247 degrees in this gym. And then we got turned off because we were too loud. We had to cut our sound like a song.
I think I broke like half my string. Yeah.
And then, we come home afterwards, and it's just me and Pat and Sean in the van.
Oh.
And we blow a tire on the trailer. At 3:30 in the morning? So we sit in the Starbucks parking lot for approximately 4 or 5 hours until someplace opens up where we can finally go, buy a new tire and replace it.
And it's really cool that any place in Massachusetts deals with trailers because they don't. We had to call on a Sunday.
That's the business we're opening. We're going.
That's what I'm
saying. You heard it here first. Duffy Falconer tractor trailer repairs.
We won't tell your
AAA
shit.
AAA did not give.
No, AAA was the least helpful company ever. You pull a tire? Well, that sucks.
You would have been better off finding some rednecks.
Yeah, probably. But we were
on. The other tour we went on was where the bunny happened and lesbians and that was
Yes.
All right, so I gotta hear the story now.
Right, come on.
Jacob, lesbian story. But it involves a bunny and a lesbian.
Okay. Oh, well, where should I start?
The beginning.
We were in Albany, New York.
We'll start at the beginning of the tour because the bunny suit was the
best. Yeah, well, I'll give you a quick backstory. My brother-in-law, bless his little soul, has in his possession, or now I have in my possession, a full, one of the furry suits, like a mascot suit.
No.
And it's a rabbit and has the giant rabbit head with the ears and everything. And we're all a bunch of jackasses, so I thought it would be funny just to keep it in the van. People could jump in it, run around, cause some trouble, whatever. And they did, over and over and over again. So we played a show in Albany, and when we were done outside, apparently... it was some college strip of bars.
We were definitely in the bar crawl.
And just drunk college kids started pouring out of nowhere, dude. Like, they came out of the fucking woodwork.
So many people.
And our friend Eric, the singer for the band Behold Oblivion, Tightrope, he grabbed the rabbit suit and started doing his thing. And I had a cowboy hat and a tiger print jacket.
Zebra.
And
his horse was
an oversized
aquatine.
Hey, what you doing?
So we're in a free show.
So we're strutting around. Eric's dancing his dick off in the rabbit suit, and out of nowhere, this. Now you have to understand. I think crossing the gay line is absolutely hilarious because, like, we're all very secure in our sexuality, so we feel no awkward.
I knew it.
Like, so we like to push that boundary a lot, and I spotted what I thought was a guy in the crowd, and in my little outfit, Eric in the rabbit suit decided we were going to go molest this person.
So it came over to you.
Well, like, initially she came, or it's
like a track green.
Yeah, well, all right, we'll play the pronoun game, all right? Initially they came over and wanted to try on, I think she wanted to try on the cowboy hat or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes, she did. She was attracted.
And I wouldn't let her.
Time.
So she got aggressive. I ended up grabbing her and fake humping her from behind because I thought she was a dude, which is weird because
I think that would make it okay.
When I thought it was a dude, that would have been cool. But then she started talking, and I was like, "Oh my god, you're just a, like, forgive me, you are a dyke." Like, I don't have a better word for that. It's so mean to say, but like, there are lesbians and there are dykes. Like, she was a dyke. And
it's so funny that you thought it was okay that
I wasn't here. As soon as I found out she was a chick, I felt really awkward.
Yeah.
So now you've got a kid in a zebra print, like, pimp jacket and a cowboy hat, and the kid in a rabbit suit running down the street. One of whom then jumped on a pogo stick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's a pogo stick. Keep in mind, the cops must have passed by at least like four times during this. Did not
one
care.
Time beeped and scared the crap out of Eric while in the suit.
But
that bunny suit lasted the whole tour, and BB guns.
It didn't come out on Thursday, it came out Friday through Sunday.
In Connecticut is when it really came out.
And we had BB guns.
Yeah, it took a lot of time to kill in Connecticut, because we ended up getting to the venue really early. And
went to a Swift Store, Drift Store.
Drift Store!
You came back with your wind pants and your plaid suit jacket.
And Patrick Darcy had his old man Cosby
hat. Bill Cosby sweater.
That was a really fun tour, though.
$8. Can't beat that.
It's a steal, dude.
Feels like a steal.
Job.
Ancient wolf.
Proud of you.
Now, what was your favorite venue that you played in on that tour?
On any tour?
Oh, yeah.
Favorite venue ever. I mean, the Palladium upstairs was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty... That was just...
I mean, you guys were at that show, so... That was a great show just because, like, it was a room... There were so many of our friends there and playing such a venue held in high esteem.
Dude, I've seen so many much bigger bands than us play on that, in that same room, on that same stage. And to get perfectly queer, it was so... I don't know, it was very cool for me as an ego thing. I was. Like, I'm standing and spitting in the same places that a lot of my favorite bands and vocalists have stood and spit, and that's just... That was just so fucking cool to me. I don't know. That's so gay.
I really enjoyed Rob Jacks in September.
You're lucky.
Dude, like, I don't even like Rob Jacks.
I'm so mad at that.
It's funny because
I thought you quit.
Yeah, that was. I think that was one of the shows we almost turned around and left.
Yeah, that was the first show.
I was pondering that question. We were like, should we just fucking leave?
With the duct tape, we have to tape his mouth shut for just saying Rob Jacks.
Yeah.
Dude, no, that was Hogtie, this bitch.
That was not a good show.
In there, and Darren's like, "Are my drums gonna fit?"
Yeah, the stage barely fit his drums.
I ended up like setting it up sideways.
Yeah, you did. You were at this weird angle. Yeah. So you were like, you were essentially looking at a corner when you're playing drums.
Actually, I believe that the owner of the bar, he like shut our sound off, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or he shut the lights off, like where we were playing.
He just had it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were really upset when we started wheeling our amps and everything. Like, you can't bring that in here.
It was actually a complaint from outside. He battles against somebody across the street that reports him all the time.
You gotta go back. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know. I have two different groups of friends who have performed there. Worst things ever.
Yeah, it's awesome.
One of them was actually a charity fundraiser, and they charged us to collect money at the event.
Wow.
They charged us $50 and we only made $125. But, yeah, I don't like that place.
What else has been a cool place we've played?
I like Rouse a lot.
Rouse is fun.
I just fucking hate the stairs.
Way to totally redeem myself.
That show, well, both of them, Rock Your Face Off Fest, Mr. Pat Darcy over here, puts on every year, and that's an incredible show. Yeah, we played with Empire Shuffle last year, and a bunch of Picaro's, everyone.
That was a great show.
And then this year, it was incredible, too. Awesome time. I love that show.
I actually thought the place we played in Brooklyn was fun. Just for the sheer fact that this was like the name of the venue is the Party Expo, which we were like, okay, you look it up online and like you get like the website for this like iParty type store. And we're like, what the hell? You get down there, it turns out it was this like one of those stores used to be in this room, but the place vacated. But there was some kind of loophole in the lease or something, so that it's just this empty space that people will like take and put on shows and everything, and it's really illegal, but the cops don't care because it's Brooklyn, they have better things to do. And yeah, it was just this big empty room with a pretty cool cat hanging out.
Parking, absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah. Parking a van and trailer in Brooklyn is not a fun thing.
With snowbanks.
Yeah, yeah. In the middle, this was in February, so yeah, there was like 4 feet of snow on either side of the road. But no, I mean, it was a great show. It was just like full of kids that all really dug it and danced their asses off. If I'm not mistaken,
that one was cool because no one knew us, but they still got into it.
Those are always the fun ones. Like we found that. I mean, like nothing. Obviously, the scene here is incredible. We love playing around here, but every time we travel far, it seems to go over really well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like we've done a lot where we kind of go out and play in the boonies. Like last summer, we played. Where was it? Oneonta, New York. Is that where it was?
Intense.
But yeah, it was like
killed a kid.
Yeah, we literally. It was. I think it was probably the closest we've come to playing in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like there wasn't even cell phone reception.
That was the park, right?
It was this big
camping park.
Yeah, it was this big like resort park. It was a show called Dirty Fest. It was like this. It was 2 days. We showed up the night before we were gonna play and camped out. And it ended up we played probably close to midnight on the last day of the fest, and there was like probably almost 200 kids there, and it was
a full on party though.
Yeah, it was a really really fun show. We almost killed Mikey Fad from Iron Liege.
It was wild because when we started playing, there was nobody in the room. There were a couple of kids hanging out. And then, like, we looked up at, like, the maybe second or third song in, and all of a sudden, like, people just
there was
come out
dust
of the wood.
Flying.
Yeah, people come out of the wood, like, what's going on?
So out of nowhere.
Wait, what the hell?
Came out of the kids dropping down on the ceiling, parachuting in.
Yeah, because it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, the show was going on, but there were so many people just, like, camping out and hanging out. So, like, through the course of the day, it was just kind of, like, filtering around, a lot of people hanging out in their tents and whatnot. But, yeah, by the time we went on, I think probably everyone in, like, the compound showed up and came in, so... It's really cool to like have that kind of support when you're traveling around, you know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to. I mean, the farthest we've gone out is. I mean, like we pretty much stayed in the northeastern region. We're hoping to start branching out further. So.
Farthest we've gone, we don't want to speak.
Yeah, the farthest we went was.
No, come on!
We never elaborated on the drumstick story though.
Well, we'll get to it. This was 2 summers ago?
Yeah, it was his first summer with us.
Yeah, memories.
So. Yeah, it was Sean's first summer with the band. So yeah, this was before we even recorded the album. We were going to do like a month long tour with Forever in Terror and Behold Eternity, and like the booking agent really dropped the ball, the whole thing fell apart, and we ended up with one show booked in Jersey. It was supposed to be like 23 shows. We ended up with one that this guy ended up booking. We were like, whatever. It's booked, we'll play it. Like Forever and Terror, they're from Ohio. They came out and they played too. Behold Eternity dropped off it. But we were like, screw it. We'll go down there, we'll play the show. And it was, probably like a 6-hour drive down there. First, like the kids just did not like us at all. It was one of those things where we didn't.
Why didn't they like us?
We didn't fit into their little scene click,
You have to understand, like the kids who were at that show were very. I mean, I hung out with a lot of kids like these kids in the past, and have since grown out of it. But they were the crew from like a 5-mile radius around this club. Like everyone in that room.
Club. It was a bet hall.
Whatever. Everyone knew each other, and they were all listening to like these two guys who were like
Like, I remember seeing one of them who was like
the leader of the pack.
Yeah. He was definitely the alpha running
like
around.
That was like showing his tattoo. Really. Like,
yeah. And so once one of these guys said something, all the sheep were like, "Oh yeah, well, yeah, we should probably do what he said." Yeah. So now they've interrupted. Continue.
Well, yeah, so they pretty much boiled down to that. Like, they, as a collective unit, turned around and left the club.
No. First, they all sat down on the floor.
They did.
While we were, because the first song, my mic didn't work. And then, to this day, the sound guy was fucking with me because it was fine. And then all of a sudden, it started going up and down and disappearing and all this stuff. So I got pissed, and I was a little childish, ended up sitting down, like, near you guys, because I couldn't do anything. And then like the third song started, and everybody in the room who was there, everybody sat down on the floor, and then gave us another like 30 seconds, and then the entire fucking room cleared out. One guy was like, "Oh, let's go," and everybody got up. The only kid who was left in the room was the drummer from Forever in Terror, because he was setting up his stuff because they were playing after us. And it's only because I don't think he knew what was going on. I think he looked up and everybody was gone, and he was like, "Where'd everybody go?"
Yeah, it was just...
It's like follow the leader.
Yeah, it was one of those things that were like, it's kind of good that it happened, because now, pretty much no matter how bad a show is, we're like, well, it's not Jersey.
At least...
It could be. We're like, alright, you're right.
Honestly, if that show's ever topped is the worst one we've ever done, we'll probably quit.
Yeah, I will just give up music.
Like, you know what, I'm done.
True.
Be told.
Shut up.
So what is your most favorite show that you've done, besides Rock Your Face Off Fest 2?
I was going to say that one.
One. You can't throw one in there.
Well, probably our...
Me as Pat. Yeah, it's the right one.
It's not that
one. That's duct tape, remember?
If it wasn't that one, I'd
say the Pirate Bar.
The pirate bar was fun.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah,
the big pirate wheel in the background.
I guess I do have AIDS.
Yeah, there was the... That weird homeless lady that was selling condoms and prayer beads.
Who asked me? I said no.
Those weren't prayer beads.
Like a circle. Would you like to buy a bracelet? No, I told you a second ago. Would you like to buy a bracelet? What the fuck are you doing, woman? I honestly thought like I didn't know something. It slipped me something, and I was partying.
We're living the same moment. You're so trapped in momentum.
And I think I remember
Inception.
I think at the end of our set, I ended up with condoms on each.
Yeah, because Ben was there.
Yeah, Ben was talking about you.
Where the fuck are these condoms going?
I don't know. It's difficult because I think Rock Your Face Off Fest was one of my favorites. So
I would say
that and the Palladium.
If not that one, yeah, the Palladium show.
Which Rock Your Face Off?
All of them.
I like the first one.
Well, the first one was better because I didn't get raped by everyone on stage, which was fucking annoying. People steal my shoes from me.
Wah.
Yeah.
I would say our CD release party was a really good one.
Where did
Honey Fits.
Yeah,
that was fun. I mean, that was fun just because it's like it was, you know, kind of outpouring of support, you know, since we were releasing the album. That one was really good.
Yeah, I stand by the Palladium just for the sake. It was my first chance to play at that venue, and that was beyond cool for me. Just saying.
I'm catching what you're throwing.
You know how many times I saw fucking like Blood for Blood and Hatebreed in that room? Fucking terrifying. And I got to be the terrifying guy on stage. Very cool to me. Shut up.
Now, what is this drumstick story about going out window?
Yeah. Come on. You're tiptoeing around it the entire time.
I'm fielding this one. Let me paint you a picture.
I don't want it!
Now, you have to understand, it's already a running joke that I can barely speak in this room when Darren is in here, because no matter what I'm doing, somehow a cymbal manages to get hit whenever I open my mouth, or like a snare drum, like I'll start talking, all of a sudden it's a blast beat out of nowhere. I love them to death. You're really good at them. Don't get me wrong. But we're coming home after a show, and I don't know, I have a thing, on the way home from the show, I don't want like quiet time, but everybody take it down a notch, whatever. And this kid is sitting in the back seat, but I'm riding shotgun. He's sitting behind me with his fucking drumsticks in the back of the seat. I was like, dude, the show was 2 hours ago. Fucking relax. fucking, I was like, damn, let me see a drumstick. So let me see a drumstick. No, no, I'm going to do the exchange of both sides here for the listeners. Darren, let me see a drumstick. No. Darren, come on, give me a drumstick, dude. No, because you're going to throw it out the window. I'm not going to throw it out the window, dude. Just give me a drumstick. Darren, seriously, as a friend, give me a drumstick. Just one drumstick. I don't even want the pair. Just give me a drumstick. So in a matter of, I think, half of a second, Darren hands me the drumstick, instantly window is down, it's out the window. There was just no thought about it whatsoever.
It was one
brand new drumstick.
It was a really nice fluid motion.
Yeah, it was just like...
But then it turned into this big thing because he had an odd number of drumsticks now.
So OCD kicked in.
And
I have problems.
So I was like, Darren, it's a drumstick for God's sake. And Darren was like, bless his little heart, was really, you were really cranky at me.
I was.
For some reason, yeah.
But the thing that makes it worse is that I paid for the drumstick. I asked him how much the drumsticks were. And I was like, you know, $3 a pair.
$4.
And I was like, all right, well, Darren, here's $4. It's no longer an issue. I now owned that drumstick that I threw out the window anyway. But now I have an odd number of sticks. Like, get the fuck rid of the other one. Here's another $4. And you wouldn't do that. You're like, oh, I gotta shave it. Then shut up!
So much anger.
And yes.
It went on for like an hour. It just did not stop.
Days, though.
And Darren was just so pissed the whole time. He's like, dude, what the fuck? Pissed the whole time. We're like, he paid for the drumstick.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, he just couldn't comprehend. He was so mad.
And then I want to point out, where is the Rubbermaid bin full of drumsticks? Full of drumsticks.
I don't have that anymore. I used it for like...
Did you build a house out of the fucking thing? A log cabin for yourself? Your little retirement home?
Maybe.
A cabin up in the woods. You can get some sheep and tend to them.
My home away from home.
Drumstick story essentially boils down to me just being an asshole and watching Darren get really upset for no real good reason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's all in good fun. Yeah. Darren doesn't believe we're as good friends as we are.
It's a good story.
And we're going to laugh about this forever. Okay.
We all laugh. He kind of just smirks.
Yeah, he's like, ha.
He's like, oh, that's really funny. I should have undergone.
I should only pop. That's what you guys said.
The wounds are slowly healing.
So now you guys have played all these venues, but which venues would you love to actually perform at that you haven't had a chance to yet?
Budokan,
Comcast Center.
Downstairs Palladium.
Downstairs Palladium. That may satisfy every one of my.
Yeah, Mohegan
Sun.
Downstairs at the Palladium will definitely make me splurge my underpants.
State Theater.
Madison Square Garden.
State Theater in
Maine would be awesome.
That's the Palladium.
That's the Palladium in Maine.
Because I know when I'm sitting here thinking that question, I picture you guys at the House of Blues.
House of Blues would be awesome. Okay. It's a gorgeous place.
I mean, that'd be awesome, you know. But all those other venues, yeah. Be a great time there.
Gillette Stadium.
No, where the fuck did they put on the Monster Rock thing in Russia? I want to play there.
I want to play Vodka.
Vakken, oh!
Vakken open air.
If I play Vakken open air, that's my career right there. I'm done.
Like, it's in Germany, isn't it?
Yeah. But we'll make it.
Oh,
but the thing is, I was like, oh, we won't be able to play there, but like Chimera played there last year and everything, so.
Oh, yeah, it's
not black metal anymore.
Yeah, it used to be all extreme, now it's everything.
Yeah, I would. Vakken is my place.
Because Europe rules.
Yeah, Europe is where the metal is at.
Fact.
Rammstein.
Yes.
Japan.
Got me going.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's how it goes, James. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Don't even get started because we'll just go for days on that. It's one of Darren's favorite bands and we shit on him all the time.
Right, no, just as such an incredible drummer, I can't believe you can sit and listen to that. and not just go, this is so boring.
The fact is that Christoph Schneider is like...
Who?
Probably my favorite drummer. Like, no joke. Hands down.
That blows my mind.
As like simplistic. Dude, this is ideas.
Yeah, the action.
I'm a fan.
Oh, okay.
I like Ron.
The ideas that he brought to the table, like when I first heard his style, it just like.
Remember, I'm the guy.
Yeah, he tried to battle me one day that Slayer or Rammstein was better than Slayer.
What?
Yeah.
Hands down.
No.
Yeah. Give me that Slayer hat that's caused so many issues now, right? You don't even like Slayer. That was another thing I hated.
What are you talking about? Don't judge me.
I know.
I, Patrick, get a lot of influence from Cold Chamber and the Cure.
Shut up, Patrick. Cold Chamber and the Cure.
Well, see, it's funny. One of Rammstein's songs actually got me in trouble. I live in a predominantly Spanish neighborhood, and I had Tiquero Buta blaring. My neighbor came up knocking.
Fucking serious.
I was doing. She's like, "What's your radio saying?"
Nothing.
Too host.
You hate me.
But you have to picture this woman. She's 4'9" and like 75 pounds. And she doesn't speak a word of English.
My type of gal. You still living around here?
She still lives downstairs for me.
We'll talk later. Patrick Clarity.
She'll let you into her bed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pat's got your loop fever.
Yeah. Latino. No, what are they called?
He likes the chalupa.
Fever? Well, I don't know.
Goya fever.
That actually sounds like a legit condition. He's suffering from a bad case of Goya fever.
Look it up.
Every dictionary, here I go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. All right, well.
All right, so you guys have such an amazing stage presence. Question, who came up with epic poses?
I'm on a Mars. Yeah.
Like, where did you guys
want Swedish people?
The poses that we do and the dances are just all of band practice. Just all of a sudden we'll be like, ha, that's funny. Yeah. And we'll do it. And that's it.
It's the thing. I mean, the Dust Angel epic poses thing. It's just one of, like, the opening and the intro to that song, just with, like, Duffy's lead work and stuff. It's just so
epic.
So unnecessarily epic. And, like, not by no means in, like, a joking way. Or, like, I don't ever think that any of our music is a joke. But, like, we just did, like, so many different varieties of stuff that, like, that's definitely our big epic We Wanna Be Vikings song. So when you hear that intro, man, you can't help but just want to, like, throw the metal claw up and just raise your glass to Odin. But honestly, we're as big jackasses here at practice as we are on stage.
It's just what we like doing.
It's just who we are.
Everything we do on stage, we do here. While we're jamming.
It comes natural.
We don't plan any of it.
We're not a joke band by any means. We're just like having fun.
There's no reason metal can't be fun.
There's no reason metal can't be fun.
Yeah, right.
And for some reason, I can picture Darth Vader battling out over here, just like at.
There was a lightsaber fight at one of the last shows.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. Rock your face off too. Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
That was funny because I remember I started seeing it like halfway through that. There's no one turning around and being like, "Oh, there's extra people on stage, and they have lightsabers."
I didn't even realize it had happened until they were walking off the stage.
Yeah, I didn't see them at all
until I spun around and saw Ryan walking away with a lightsaber. I was like, "What the fuck just happened?" I must have just been facing the crowd and not notice what was going on behind me.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I guess.
Well, that was like the bunny that came on stage. I think it was Darcy.
When the rabbit came on stage, none of us had any idea who the fuck you were.
And then all of a sudden he started humping the shit out of me, and I go, oh,
that's Darcy. That's our bass player. Oh, heavens to Betsy.
What about your fans? Like, you have all these diehard fans come to all your shows. I mean, Brian, do you guys know most of them, or are they just people who have...
It was only Ryan.
Yeah. we've become friends with a lot of the people who kind of started to... I mean, we certainly made a lot of friends by doing this.
Yeah, it's over time. I mean, every show we meet new people, and then they just start coming to more shows. Yeah,
It's cool. Awesome. It's definitely cool to see familiar faces. Yeah. I like seeing the same people at shows.
People sing along with our songs and awesome.
Yeah.
So I know I've been to a few shows, and I recognize a lot of the faces from, you know, the show before and stuff like that.
Yeah, I dig it. One of the cooler things for me is that I've finally noticed at least a couple of people like actually like singing words along with me, which again is kind of an ego thing. It's very cool. I mean, you know, yeah, straight up, it is. Yeah. But it's, you know, if you saw somebody in the crowd with a guitar playing your lines,
you know. I would appreciate that dedication. They have one of those Marshall pocket amps.
Pull out a guitar.
Well, I think that was the first indication to me that people are repeatedly listening to our music and enjoying it, because it's they must have listened to it enough times to learn it. So, cheers to that.
Yeah, it's simply one of those kind of slowly but surely things, you know. Yeah. Like I've seen.
Don't call me surely.
Just like your sex life.
Seeing the influence, you know, grow, and you know, more and more people showing up, and just kind of from having heard about us from who knows wherever.
Yeah. Now, what about the bands that you guys, you know, have grown to work with quite a bit?
They're awesome. Yeah, we have so many good friends. Caro, the Summon, like everyone. Just
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I can keep going.
I think it's bad as well because. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, think about the tight-knit group of bands that we play with. Like, none of us are the same at all.
No, we got, like, deathcore.
Yeah, there's not...
death and...
Yeah, it's like, not like we hang out with a bunch of kids doing the exact same kind of music we do. Like, the Summon, tech death
experimental,
stuff.
Technical, death metal, yeah. Awesomeness.
And then you get a Caro, which is, you know, straight, like, epic gallop metal shit, and...
Well, the brotherhood that's forming in Massachusetts again... Like it used to be, it's coming back, and for a while there, it was like it wasn't there, and now it's definitely coming back, and we're all like best friends now, and it's awesome playing shows with people we love. We love their music too, so.
I remember as a kid, you know, there was that huge bond because exactly. New World used to perform once a month, have those giant shows, and win.
Well, I like to, you know, compare it to like Killswitch, Shadows Fall, and On Earth, that fucking Brotherhood, yep. The Massachusetts Brotherhood that came out, and now look at them now, all it remains. They're doing everything perfect, you know. And
yeah.
And for a while there, it was missing, you know.
Something happens.
It was the hardcore scene that took over. And
it makes the mentality.
New Metal killed it.
Yeah. FSU fucked it over, and then New Metal kids came and put the double tap in the back of the skull.
Yeah, they were just like, hey, done.
Here's a little band called ICP.
It definitely is cool, though.
Gun? Like, they use a hatchet. Get your story right.
But yeah, it's
just... They weren't smart enough to know how to load the
weapon. You're out of the band. You're out of the band.
I plugged my pinky. Come on, I don't know what I'm doing, clearly.
Classy. But yeah, there's so many bands that we play with on a weekly like basis, you know, yeah.
Some have been out for a while. It gives Zombies the vote. Yeah. They haven't been doing anything for a while, but they're good friends of ours.
If you don't know them, like them now. They're fucking
give great. Zombies
they're,
the vote.
They're working on a new
yeah,
album.
Yeah, they have new stuff coming out.
And it is incredible.
And of course, Bold Oblivion, who we did that tour with the
Tightrope. Formerly Tightrope.
Tight Oblivion Rope Beholding.
Beholding Tight Oblivion Rope.
Asians.
Yeah, we love those kids. They're awesome. And we definitely plan on... Hopefully going out with them in the summer a little bit too. So
maybe we could sit here and list all the awesome bands in the scene right now, but it's honestly it's like go to a show. You'll see a bunch of bands you'll like.
Go off.
Because that's what every show is now. And again, it's like what Jake and Sean said, you know, it's everyone's doing their own thing, which is awesome. Especially with like just the open mindedness of kids and just people in general that are going to shows now are like open to hearing these bands doing their own thing. It's really cool to just see everyone kind of out there being genuine, doing what they think is cool, not doing what's popular, or doing what all their, you know, what everyone else is doing to fit in, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Go out to shows, support.
Yeah, show shows.
Yeah, because we love you guys there, so.
And great job, Darren. You know, I know you were sitting there for a long time, rocking back and forth. We were waiting for you to jump over the couch and run.
Dude,
and then
finally decided to get.
Oh, okay. I mean, you stand there holding your leg.
I mean, it's kind of rude, but holy shit.
Actually, if you didn't go in the next 5 minutes, I'd be like, dude, please, we don't want an accident.
You can go into a Gatorade bottle and place it back where you found it.
For the longest time, every band practice, he was pissing into a bowl of springs.
I did.
Left it over there. I'm like,
I had a judge.
Eventually, I'm like, is that piss? Yeah, every band practice, I've been pissing there because I'm too lazy to go to the bathroom. I'm like, you dick. Throw it away.
Yeah, you have to get a good like gallon thing, like a good solid three quarters full. Like,
yeah, I didn't want to go upstairs. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why whenever we go anywhere to play a show, we need to make sure. Luckily, you drink the most of the time.
vitamin water.
We need to make sure there's a vitamin water bottle in the van for so we can use the bathroom.
We just need a bag of empty vitamin water.
What show, or where were we going when Darren tried to go in the Dunkin' Donuts cup?
We're going to Denver.
He tried to shit in a Dunkin' Donuts cup while we were driving. Lifted himself up, and he's like,
and he was giving it his all. Like, he was giving 110, but, like, just nothing to no avail.
But it was a good video. I think I still have that on video. So.
Yeah, it's online.
It's online. Yeah, you put it online. Pre-production. Oh, that was going to
shit. He was on, man. I got nervous, though.
No, it wasn't going to Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see a lot of our jackassery, the Widow Sunday channel, we have a channel.
YouTube.com.
But we're going to be doing a lot of videos soon, just to be...
Yeah.
I've been collecting footage for a good 6 months now. So.
Yeah. I think I'll tell the YouTube channels the videos, the pre-production stuff, but once you get stuff together, we'll put up jackassery updates.
Yeah, we're just trying.
We always do... In Flames used to do the Naked Thursday thing on their website.
Yeah.
Where every Thursday they do an interview with all five of them. We're just sitting there naked, like, hanging out.
Wait, website?
Good idea.
When bands had websites?
I know, right?
Yeah. Back before MySpace.
Yeah.
Bands should go back.
Anyway.
Back to MySpace?
No.
Ooh.
MySpace is dead, man.
Back to GeoCities.
What the fuck is it?
Yeah. Ooh, GeoCities. Angel Fire.
GoDaddy account.
Alrighty.
So as you see, you guys play with so many different types of genres and bands, and as I was doing research, you can't be classified into a genre because you span such a broad spectrum. Yeah. Who came up with dance metal?
Who actually did coin that? I don't know.
I might have. I don't know. I think we just kind of started saying
it. I did, dude.
Okay, there I go.
Darren, calm down.
Darren Boyd, ladies and gentlemen.
He finally speaks.
Coining the phrase dance metal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all came because, like, we started doing the techno stuff, and it's like, I remember I did come up with the breaking faces, shaking booties thing.
Yeah.
And it just kind of seems...
I did, dude.
Who
make sure
did?
You get Darren Boyd.
Okay, so where'd you come up with that?
Dance metal.
With what?
Breaking faces,
shaking booties?
It's just, I don't know, one of those things that just kind of popped in my head, because it was like, we always really did the groove thing, and it just kind of went the straight dance element. And
we noticed people dancing in the crowd a lot.
We dance like assholes.
We shake our ass.
I think that's kind of our mantra, because those are the two things we want to see. We want to see faces getting broken, and... dudes shaking their ass.
Only guys!
Well, for a while there, I mean, like last year, people would just sit there and stare at us and not know what to do, and they're like, what? And now eventually people know, dance your ass off, be an asshole.
I have a tendency to call people out.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, like, we've been doing the dance thing for, like, almost 3 years now, and, like, it seems like it's now starting to get popular, like, heavy bands kind of integrating techno and shit into what they're doing, and we're like, son of a bitch.
Let us just have fun. No.
That's the thing. I think one of my favorite views is when I see that big, tough guy in the back in his, in his sweaty Slayer shirt.
Push out.
Standing there, arms crossed, like, staring us down, and we're all dancing like jackasses, and in Blood Money, the intro comes on, and he's just sitting there, I don't know about these fairies. And then the groove kicks, and then you can kind of see him get into it, and then whatever, you know. And it's, I don't know, we just need to break that wall. I think I use the line, no tough guys, at every show that we've ever
done. And don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick about it.
Perfect.
Yeah, constantly yelling at
people. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's...
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, I'm not yelling at people. I just want people to understand that we're not... You know, we're not like a death metal or black metal band that's there to frighten you. We're jackasses.
Then you choose up your spine.
Yeah. We're there to dance and have a good time. I'm sorry if you smile in metal, that. But
yeah, I'm constantly smiling on stage.
Yeah, dude, it's just I think if we tried to be serious, I wouldn't have any fun. I wouldn't be in the band.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I mean, if we wanted to be, what was the term? We need to be more sinister, is that what he wanted? Or more evil? We need to be more sinister. But no, that's not who we are. And I made that very clear. We are here. We are jackasses. We like to have fun. We talk about Star Wars and comic books. Like, that's what we do.
It's catching on.
Yeah. And I think people are finally understanding that, we are there to have fun and put on a show. You know. We're not by any means like a, I mean, dude, not a comedy troupe.
Dude, I'll have people come up to me like after a show or whatever and be like, dude, I had so much fun during your set. I had fun.
Yeah.
You don't hear that.
And that's all I want to hear, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so tough during the set. I sat there with my arms crossed and frowned the whole set, bro. Felt good.
I feel like my scowl was like an 8 during that.
It really filled in.
You know, once I stretched out after the first couple of songs, I really got that down. The brow really furrowed.
Yeah, fire.
All right, so what influences you guys that you take from other bands or other things out there that you use? Holy shit. To like...
Yeah, we are...
Safety first! Hope you're
And see? And he just ran to the bathroom.
There was a question about influences.
Yeah, what influences?
That was still put it up.
What is... the drive that you guys take to be different and original and not like every other band out there on the scene?
It's probably the fact that we all have such drastically different influences, and but I mean, at the same time, by the same token, you know, we come into this and we just kind of do what we think sounds cool. I think that's really just our biggest motivation.
We really don't sit down and be like, okay, we need to sound like this, or we need to try something like this that's that different from everything else. We just comes in together.
Yeah, even again with like the dance metal thing. Like we never sat around and we were like, hey, let's mix Euro techno with death metal. Mm-hmm. You know, like we just kind of did it because we thought it sounded cool. Like whenever we write, we're just like, hey, I have this riff that sounds cool. And we
at the time we were listening to a lot of Lady Gaga and a lot of Kesha.
I'm obsessed with
it. Sounds like a good time.
It was one of those things. It's like, really? I don't think we have guilty pleasures because none of us are guilty about it.
I get pissed if I don't hit a Katy Perry once a day.
Yeah,
I at least
upset.
Once. I get upset.
Well, that's the other thing is we all listen to everything. We don't stick to like one thing. Well, one thing, I'll listen to like Lady Gaga, Kesha, and I'll listen to After the Burial right after. Like, I listen to everything.
Good music is good music.
Classical, right? Blues, whatever.
Darren, you were saying?
No, it's like some people have an idea, and then, like, you know, I'll have an idea, and we'll kind of, like, just mesh that together, and, you know, it just comes out the way it does, and people like it, you know? I mean, the whole band agrees on it, and we just go from there.
I think we kind of have that, like, just kind of subconscious mindset of... You know, we know what feels right, and thankfully what feels right ends up being cohesive when put together. Mm-hmm. You know, because you could certainly, like, try to have that super eclectic mesh of things, but then your album sounds like a mixtape in a negative way. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think what we've done sounds like a mixtape in a positive way, where, you know, it's not monotonous, it spans a lot of influences, but you can still tell it's the same band, has the same attitude. Which, I mean, I guess if we had any goal in mind, it would be to do that. But even then, I think it comes so naturally to how we do things that we don't really have to think about it too hard. Because that's been kind of our protocol for writing thus far, that it works so well, why stray away from it at this point?
Plus, I think we're all mature enough, too, that, like, but as musicians, that if something's not working, you know, then it's not working. You know,
no hard feelings.
Yeah,
we get flat hurt or something.
If a song's we had one recently. If the song's just not working, it's not working, dude. You know, and then we'll probably end up dissecting it at some point, and you know, because it's not they. You guys wouldn't. I mean, you guys piss music out, which blows my mind. But like the. You know, it's not like, oh, if we lose that one, then we just lost an entire song, dude. I mean, you know, you guys will come up with another cool couple of riffs. Like, I mean, we even, I won't say when or where, but I mean, we definitely butchered a couple of our, you know, some old riffs and stuff that we had to make new songs that are on this record. It's a matter of just, you know, the individual pieces of these songs weren't bad, but as a whole, it just wasn't flowing. You know,
well, sometimes if you leave the riff alone, you know, and then you come back to it after a couple months, you know, you get new ideas for it, and, you know, kind
of,
you know.
That's why some of the most incredible paintings took fucking years to get done.
Right.
You know, because they do something and it wasn't working, they, you know, you step back from it a little bit. And it's the same, yeah, I mean, I know writing, at least from my end of writing lyrics and stuff, I got stuck so many times on, what the fuck song was it?
Look at the inlay, Jake. Look at the inlay.
It was Dust Angel. When I was writing the lyrics for Dust Angel, because like that's probably one of the songs that has the most words that I say out of all of our songs. And I got so mad at that song for so long, and I ended up walking away from it. And then I think I did Blood Money instead for a while, and then I came back to it, and then the song just flowed, you know. And that's just. I don't know if I know you guys kind of write the same way. I mean, the same thing you did with Blood Money. You know, you had the idea of the song, but it took bringing it all together, all us together, to make it what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, all of us. Make it a hit. All of us have so many songs that we write all the time. It's just we got to figure out which ones are good. So.
Yeah, it's also you can't force stuff. It's so easy to tell if something is forced.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many records you can tell. Just like, yeah, you just write another song, just like,
yeah,
this. Make it sound like this.
Yeah, where it's like our thing is like what Jake was saying. If something's not working, you know, don't dwell on it. Just onward and upward. You know, if there's some spark of creativity down the road, and we can pull something out of that and make it actually work. Cool. Otherwise, you know, why dwell on something and make it where we push it to where we want it to be just for the sake of having that song. Because, yeah. I mean, then, like you said, it'll sound forced. It'll sound like we did it just for the sake of having it done.
Well, that's why, I mean, to reference a really random band, but it's what happened, I guess, on Weezer's last record when they were finishing it up. They had handed the product in. The record producers said to them, they're like, all right, dude, the album's good, but there is no Buddy Holly on this record. You need to write the hit. And Rivers Cuomo was like, no, dude, the record's done. Like, that's what you're getting. And it turned into this big legal battle, so... The song that they had on the radio, Pork and Beans, for a while, I don't know if you ever heard it or not, the lyrics in the song make absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever. And it's because Rivers wrote the song, he wrote the catchiest, poppiest song he could think of, and then put these shit lyrics to it, so it just handed it to the record company. It was like, there's your song. You know, and you can tell it was, he purposely did it as a forced thing, as kind of like a fuck you to the record label, but that's one thing we want to avoid is, you know, not being forced to write a song because that's the way Widow Sunday sounds or, you know, yeah, whatever like that. You know.
I agree. So, you know, obviously that's dependent upon business stuff sometimes too. We're not in a position yet where we have a board of people in suits telling us to cover Lady Gaga, which we would do in a heartbeat anyway.
There would be no debate.
Katy Perry.
I have already given Adam complete power of attorney on any decision he wants to make regarding that's kind of thing.
Now,
they see me rolling. Starting to get a little punchy.
So what's your feel on the whole media coverage that you guys have got?
Well, Pat Darcy's helped a lot with that.
Yeah, this kid right here.
But I mean, yeah, we've got a lot of, some good people in our corner. You know, the label helps out a lot with that as well, just getting us over to random. I know Jake and I have done our share of radio interviews, some of which have been pretty cool, some of which have been a giant waste of time.
Yeah, I did one that crashed and burned so hard.
Which one did you do that was really bad?
I can't even remember. It was that...
You blocked it out.
It was some chick. It wasn't Tina. It was some other chick.
Bro, Tina's good. Yeah. I think we both done interviews with her.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
Really good.
No, it was some other broad who... Forget.
High five. Sexist.
You said you were going to edit stuff, right?
Oh, no, we're keeping
that in. Leave that in.
So broad.
Didn't you listen to the beginning? We call them bastards and wenches. Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. She started asking, what the hell did she ask me about something that I was just like, really? Like, we're going to...
What is your favorite sandwich?
It was something. Dude, it was something along those lines. It was like, if train A leaves Boston at 35 miles an hour, and train B leaves Chicago going due west, when do they meet in Philadelphia? I like metal.
I'm going to need another notebook.
I like totals. I do metal. I don't do math.
One of the ones I did was like, I think it was with some show in Canada, where like the whole interview, this chick, like she was doing it from her house, because I mean, obviously, you know, it's mostly internet radio that we do stuff on, so it's pretty independent, which a lot of it's really, really cool. Like a lot of the coolest stuff out there are the people independently doing it on their own, because, you know, they're unrestricted. They can do whatever they want. But at the same time, you kind of bump into a lack of professionalism every once in a while. And this chick, like, you can tell she's doing it out of her house. And, like, she called me from her landline because, like, she said her mom was trying to call her, like, the whole time she was interviewing me. So it's, like, every 5 minutes, just this incessant beeping would start for the call waiting. And then not to mention the whole interview, I don't think she knew what band I was in. Because, like, she never directly referenced it and kind of used really ambiguous questions. And so, like, then it got to the point where I just started fucking with her and trying to be witty. Because she started throwing random questions that had nothing to do with anything really near the end. She was like, what's the scariest thing you can think of that could happen? And I was just like, zombie bears. And it was like a good 10 seconds of silence because she's like,
you came up with that really fast.
What? Zombie, like, you can't sit there and...
I don't know how else to describe this.
Yeah, it's like Howard's like, would you see a zombie bear and pet it? No! Scary! So, I mean, I don't know. It's been weird, but no, a lot of the press we've gotten is really cool. And, like, the fact there's so much worldwide stuff is awesome. Like, I did an interview with this radio show in Rome. Which was like, first of all, that's a bizarre accent to decipher when someone's speaking English to you. It was like this combination of like every European accent into one. It was very odd, but this guy on what was it, the autopsy report?
The autopsy report. Best radio station ever. Listen to it every day of your life. Perfect.
Because it's this guy. British this guy went on this huge rant about our name, trying to figure out what it meant.
On Sunday.
It's just this delightful, like, British gentleman accent, and it is the funniest shit we've ever heard.
I want to fly to England just to do a show.
Absolutely.
And I would be happy.
What did he say? It's like, oh, here comes the Widow Sunday.
Here comes the Widow Sunday.
We can't even mimic it properly, because it's just perfect.
out of the corner.
She's in the room. She's alive.
Damn straight. So, press is cool. We always like doing interviews. We like talking to people. I mean, the fact that people want to take time out of what they're doing and express interest in what we're doing is awesome. You know, so we certainly always love to talk to anyone that actually wants to support what we're doing and kind of spread the word to whoever follows them about us. So.
Oh, we got the Cookie Monster now entering the room.
That's all I got.
What promoters do you guys like to use? What promotion companies do you think are helping you?
Nefarious Realm is okay.
They're
right here. They're okay.
A little sketchy, but...
Yeah.
Their owner, Matt Darcy, is a dynamo in the sack.
It's his beard.
Does he cuddle
me hard?
That's another thing that's gotten awesome with the Massachusetts scene, I think, is there's a lot of cool promoters around here.
Zach Wells of Born of Fire.
Yeah, Zach and Born of Fire. Zach does, is it twice a month?
Bi-weekly, yes. Every other Thursday.
Yeah, he does, he runs shows in Alston and, shows movies and spins metal, and I always has a couple bands, and it's really cool.
He's in Death Ray.
He is in
Death
Ray. He plays in Death Ray.
Adam D, Brian Fair.
Adam D's not in it.
Mike D, excuse me.
Who else is around
here? Beastie Boy?
Good to work, yes!
Rock Karma.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rock Karma in Rhode Island. They've always been really cool to us. They put on great shows.
MT Metal Thursday. They do a good job.
Yeah, we've never done a Metal Thursday, but they always seem to be cool
shows.
They're very picky. Blast. Again, we don't scowl and we're not angry, so I don't think they want us for Metal Thursday. Revitalized the Scene in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Nate not only does shows, he does he makes compilation albums and will go to like a lot of the bigger shows and really like push the local bands to fans of those shows, so he's very much all about supporting and kind of getting the word out. Who else is around?
I don't know, it's hard.
I'm Thirsty does a lot of cool shows up in New Hampshire.
One Night Stand Productions.
Yeah, Lowell area.
He does Lowell a lot. Maridon Productions.
The kid that we just worked with to get down to New York runs the David Barron agency. He was really good.
Black
to
and
us.
Blue, right?
Burn your beard.
Upstate Black and Blue we worked with that that tour in November. Yeah, they treated us well. So yeah, I mean, there's so many, again, in the kind of like information age we are now, where really anyone that has internet access can, you know, start pushing whatever the hell they want to. It's definitely crossed into the era of promoters too, of people who just want to, who believe in, you know, up and coming bands and really try to push it and get it out to kids. And it's just as awesome as everyone that, you know, gets a copy of Axe FX and starts writing djent songs in their mom's basement.
Yeah.
Djent.
ring, ding, ding, ding.
There's that.
The drummers were.
Shut up.
Wow. I love you.
Such conviction. I love you, Darren.
So at Rock Your Face Off Fest 2, you guys unveiled a new song.
We did.
What do you think about it? How do you think the playback was from it?
We did better. We played it, like 3 or 4 times now?
Yeah.
So it's going on really well, because I mean, that's the first time we've played a new song in over a year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. We're working on a lot of new material now.
I think it's a really good example of the direction that we're... No, I mean, we're not taking a dramatic new direction from what we've
done.
But
we're adding more elements.
Yeah, we're solidifying the sound that we want to finally hear. I mean, obviously, In These Rusted Veins is amazing, but I mean, like Adam said, it's kind of like it is. It's fucking awesome. Shut up. I love my band. I wear my own band's t-shirts. I wear my own band's sweatshirt.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't care. You designed them, you jackass. Should be proud of them.
Carry on.
But there's so much going on In These Rusted Veins that, you know, I want them to take the cool mixtape idea, but have a consistent theme. I mean, obviously, we've now coined ourselves dance metal, you know. I don't know, I kind of lost my train.
You do that.
Where's the train go?
Is it leaving Chicago now, or is it already in Philly?
No, I get what you're saying. It's like, you know, like, obviously, we've been as this collective unit for longer than when we were writing. Because, I mean, In These Rusted Veins was written over a pretty long period of time. Like, a few of those songs were written before Sean was even in the band.
See?
But I mean, now that we're...
That means yes in Spanish.
Now that we're so tightly knit, we kind of have that more focused direction. You know, everything's really cohesive, and I think that's definitely coming across in the writing. And we're filling things out a lot, you know, like taking more risks and just kind of taking everything that we've been all about, what we've enjoyed.
Yeah, everything's filling out, except for Adam's facial hair.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, never, really. I mean, I pray our success isn't rooted on my robust beard, because then we're going to be playing in this basement forever.
It's like a chia pet with Down syndrome.
Yeah. I don't water myself regularly, though, so that could be the issue.
Is there more to it? There's like a little thing on the side, right?
You're drawing your vagina?
You guys ever see your vagina up close? No.
Works for me.
That's huge.
I can't move.
That is a really big vagina.
She's a popular lady. This ass cheek's kind of misshapen.
Misshapen.
It'll all smooth out once I do all the shading work.
But yes, the new song has gone over well. I'm sure we'll bust out at least one more new one before we go in to record the next album. We have been writing a lot, so.
Yeah. Now it's all on me.
Yeah. So it goes to full about
making helpful with topics.
That's a hands on. We're doing Death Sentence now, we come like Swell of the Seas too. It's pretty funny.
So is it the revenge?
The revenge. I can't decide if it's the return, revenge.
Well, what was the second?
Pod dose.
Well, no, Jaws 2 was just Jaws 2, right? Jaws 4 was the revenge.
The revenge.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that's when they. When
so this could just. So the like secondary titles don't start till like 3 or 4. Right. So we gotta wait a little bit. So you can't jump the gun.
This is Swell the Seas Jr.
We can go with 2. Once we get up to 3, you can start adding something
else.
Talking
about Jaws.
Yeah,
it's the third. Was the third Jaws when they were trying out the 3D thing in like the 80s? Yeah.
I don't know. Was Jaws 3 and 3D?
That was at like a theme park, right?
Yeah, Jaws 3 was in there with the SeaWorld.
I know Jaws 4 was with Alfred. That's what the plan. It's gonna end badly.
We're going, Duffy.
I'm afraid to open my beer, because one more and I'm gone. I got it.
Where are you?
Fine, take it off of Bud's.
Sit on it. Sit on it. Now we're back together again.
Alright.
Continue.
Jaws?
Onward.
Jaws.
So,
What do you guys do when you're not Widow Sunday? When you're not in here performing, what do you guys like to do for fun?
Masturbate.
I told you. I said in the car, I guarantee that masturbate would be one of the answers.
This really is what we do for fun, for the most part. Like, outside of work.
I play a lot of Call of Duty.
Video games and comics.
Nice.
That's me.
Okay. I like his answer.
I usually come down here by myself to practice the click tracks.
Because you're lame.
Well, I actually like writing music all the time. So, on my off time, I write music.
I practice my pinky plucking.
I live on Photoshop. All day, every day, when I'm not here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Play Call of Duty and I fix guitars.
Party, hang out.
Don't you get it easy.
Who, by the way, Adam.
And work my
Adam and Sean, who does all your guitar work?
Yeah. Jake fixes guitars.
Look him up on Facebook.
He's okay.
Falconer Guitars.
Falconer Guitars. Look me up. It's like it's my last name.
I don't get it.
Plus guitars. Plus guitars. Minus the plus symbol, though. You don't put that in the search.
Now you're just confusing the children.
No, you're giving people too much credit to remember all this. Because I just forgot.
It happens.
Hey, don't start.
Slotload.com. No, but seriously, we have a music video on slotload.com. We have a Blood Money video.
Is that what that one is?
Yeah.
Slotload.com.
Yeah. Is that the Sasha Gray compilation?
Oh, I forgot about that. Ooh. Holy shit.
Our friend made a Sasha Gray compilation and put Blood Money to it. It's kind of our unofficial music video. Yeah.
There's that one in his highly...
That one's kind of dicey. We're not going to promote that.
Yeah, the one with the...
I can't even watch it.
I love it.
You can't watch it.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to wind up on some government girls watch list.
Right!
True. On the weekends.
I don't know what to do at home. I forgot to add pubic hair before.
I'm an asshole on the TV. Yeah.
And then there's a couple that they always forget down there.
Is this true? Nothing. Next question.
Sing as a whistle. I'm not sure. I told you not to come down here.
They'll edit that. Alright, so what do you guys have for upcoming shows?
Our next show is April 9th at Crossroads in Palmer. We don't get out to Western Mass much, so that'll be fun, doing a headline show out there. The 29th of April, we're going to be playing Mike from Hate for One's big birthday show down at Blazes Billiards in West Warwick, Rhode Island. That'll be a fun one. That's another Rock Karma show. There's always great. And then the night after that, we're doing a headlining show at Charlie Bravo's in Putnam, Connecticut, with our friends in Acaro where they live. That'll be a really good show.
Good venue.
It is a really cool place. May's shaping up to be a pretty big month, actually. We're hoping to do a 4-day run with Mother Hyde and Circuitry. It's still being booked right now, so no real details on it, but it's in the works. And then May 14th is our big show, because that's when we'll be at Ralph's Diner in Worcester, same place where Rocky Face Off Fest has been. And we're to kind of celebrate the 1 year that In These Rusted Veins has been out. We're gonna try playing the CD from front to back. Ooh. We're just gonna play the whole album, so that'll be fun. And then we have a bunch of friends playing that show too. I know it's Hope Before the Fall, Behold Oblivion, Engraved in Bone are all playing as well. So that should be a good one. And then at the end of May, on the 27th, we're playing a show called Breathe Easy Fest down at Mill Street Brews in South
Ridge.
For
asthmatics.
Oh, it's for cystic fibrosis.
Asthmatics. Cystic fibrosis. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just retards trying to give themselves an upgrade.
That's what the show is about.
We are Widow Sunday. Widow Sunday.
And if you got offended by the ending...
More cookies!
That's so glad that's on tape.
If anybody was offended by the ending, it was said by Pat Darcy. Hunt him down.
Band Nefarious Realm.
Was that one of the guys from Acaro that just ran in here and said that?
That's what I heard.
Damn Christopher LeBlanc! Get out of here!
Get out of here! Get out of here!
All right, he's gone. Carry on.
This is what I do.
Well, I think that's about it. I want to thank everybody for sitting down with us.
It was fun.
I enjoyed myself.
So Darren's a half mast. I didn't see it right.
He just,
Whoa, whoa, whoa! He's at full now.
He just went from 6 to 4:30.
So go to widowsunday.com. Check out their music. Also, you can find them on Facebook.
You can.
And YouTube. Slotload.
Go to slotload.com. Look up Blood Money. You'll see.
They're also on the fireshroom.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Cross promotion.
Alright, well, tell them how to find you. Come on.
We are on Spike TV. That's your both videos.
NefariousRealm.com on Twitter, Facebook.
Is it singular?
Yeah, it's not Nefarious Realms. Realm is one place of nefariousness. NefariousRealm.com.
And Moshography.
Oh, yeah. Moshography, Ascendance Management.
Pictures. Font.
Okay.
Razors.com.
You have to pay for that.
It's awesome, though. They have good free previews.
We're also quite lonely.
What are you talking about?
We're done. Wrap it up.
Cut it out.
If I wrap it up, it doesn't feel as good.
Wrap it up, B.
Sure. Once again, I am Patrick Flattery.
Flattering?
Flattering. Flattering. Patrick Flattering. That's, you know, that's what...
Patrick Flattery.
Drink too much.
Mary, swippy, slippy, spappy, swummy, swan.
Samsonite.
Check the briefcase.
Oh.
All right, well, thank you for having us, man. It's been fun.
It was a great time. You know, had a great time with you guys. Look forward to seeing you guys again. Hopefully, people listening to this will come out to at least one of your shows.
It should. It's always a party.
It's a great time. I know. I've enjoyed every show I brought. You know, I've went to. My nephew probably wishes he could come, but he turns 1 in 2 weeks.
All right.
Hey, he loves metal music.
Awesome.
Got to start again. Absolutely.
Hey, my brother tries to get him to listen to Eminem and stuff. I put on metal and he jumps around.
That's good. That's
a fact.
I'll take it.
Cool.
So email us with our with any questions, comments at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. We're also on MySpace at myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. Check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. While you're there, check out Geek Aggro. And go show our friends at Gamer Reaction some love at gamerreaction.tv. This was a good time, gentlemen. Thank you. This is Anvil. I'm here with Katie and Widow Sunday.
Holler!
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey. Come on, say goodbye, come on.
Shut the fuck up.
Nice!
Keep that!
Really mean way to say goodbye.
Yeah, but that means love right there.
Sure.
Remember, we are the best.